This week's podcast is brought to you by LexCorp Razors.
Blade so sharp, it can shave a Kryptonian's beard.
Or slit its throat. All right, all our Deadlight Knights out there, are you ready for some big, exciting news? Jay, should we share it with them?
Yeah, so last week, Johnny finally saw the doctor.
No.
That rash?
Okay, yeah, that one's fine. No, yeah, not
Johnny
that.
Johnny finally saw that doctor about that, weird rash on his back.
That was a personal matter that got taken care of. We're good. It's all taken care of. It's good.
It's nothing.
No,
it's just
dude,
a mole.
Our Apple, dude. Apple podcast finally allowed us to share with them.
Yeah, we're good enough to be on Apple, so pretty big news.
Pretty big news. And hopefully soon, Spotify. All right, so we've been giving a lot of love to movies out there, and we should. Because 2019?
Year of the movie.
But honestly, what have been dominating the past 5-10 years?
Shows.
TV shows,
oh,
right?
TV, yeah.
TV.
Netflix
streaming.
Came out. Streaming.
And high quality shows. Like stuff that you just pause what you're doing and just watch it. Golden age of television.
So, Hello Kitty Island Adventure. The Powerpuff Girls. Although that's
SpongeBob.
A little old. SpongeBob. Actually, SpongeBob is good, dude.
Don't
throw that in.
Sore subject.
A joke.
I get it. That wasn't a joke. That was not a throwaway
SpongeBob
line.
SpongeBob shaped my life.
That is who you are.
Yeah.
I do see you like holding a pineapple and just wishing you lived there under the sea. I get it.
Was that a reference to SpongeBob or to Psych?
Both.
Both?
Are you segueing?
Not too soon.
Okay. That's perfect. Okay, now let's use this time to talk about some of our favorite shows, some shows that we watch, and then go into the best shows of all time.
Our trident of shows.
Not the best shows, but shows that we can talk about for hours and hours and hours.
Yeah,
and hours.
So in case you don't know this, our number one knight right now uses a trident when he plays certain characters in his nerd stuff. So our trident of shows is dedicated to him.
To our best knight of all, Sir Green. Sir Green of Chez.
Sir Green of Chez.
So I'm just going to name just some shows that we're excited about that are coming back that we don't need to get into this cast because we're going to get into it later. Like Game of Thrones. I'm a huge fan. We're probably going to get our knight Chez to come and do it with me because you're not that into Game of Thrones.
No, I haven't really watched it. I watched the clip where it's the guy with two swords and they put lightsabers over it.
That happened in the show, oddly enough. So yeah, you got the basis. That's pretty much the show. So
yeah.
You got it.
So you can have dragons, you can have lightsabers.
Exactly. So we'll talk about that. I mean, we'll talk about some of Dan Harmon's shows. You know, Rick and Morty.
Wubba-dubba-dub-dub. I'm Mr. Meeseeks. Look at me.
Community.
Jerry.
You know,
sorry, I'll stop.
Our great Family Guy, Futurama. All those are just amazing shows. Bob's Burgers. And we can go into those later. Like animation, how they've changed stuff.
Yeah, Gotham, if you watch Gotham. My wife's a big Gotham fan.
I love Gotham. It's one of the better comic book TV shows out there. Some people don't like it. I personally love it. The way it's set up is great. The visual effects is amazing. It's really well done.
They had some issues for me, but it was good. It's better than Arrow.
Yeah, that's way too much drama.
Flash is okay.
No, Flash after season two is
just
garbage.
Season
two was good.
Yeah.
But after that, it's just soap opera teen garbage. That just makes me, disgusting.
Okay, I have to make a shout out to probably the best show ever written, but you're not going to agree with me. No, it's not the best show because The Office exists, but no, Avatar The Last Airbender for me. Oh.
I'm turning this podcast off right now if that is the best show you've ever written.
Dude,
I'm just kidding. Why is that your best show? Please tell me.
I don't know. Just the characters they created and just
the
whole
movie, right?
The world building. Yeah, exactly. Aang and Katara. Yeah, no. Dude, that movie like keeps me up at night. I could have made such a better movie.
I bet I'm an innocent bystander who made a better movie than that because everyone was just complaining about it.
Well, I shouldn't say better movie because I could write a better script, I think, than whatever that was.
M. Night Shyamalan.
Speaking of which... Didn't Glass just come out? Heard it's good.
Dude, Xavier, he's looking ripped.
Yeah.
I was stuck back at how big he was.
Professor X.
Because I remember, was that Wanted? And he was a scrawny guy.
Yeah.
Granted, that was like 10 years ago, but he's a good job. See, props to guys who get jacked after 35.
Yeah.
Props for that.
James McAvoy, if you...
Yeah, for you.
Who don't know names. Who we're
like
talking
me,
about.
Because
I
knew. And I've always been trying to pitch you to watch more Canadian shows. I've been really into Canadian shows like Schitt's Creek and Letterkenny. I'm just saying, there's more out there. Expand your horizon.
I don't like Canadian stuff other than Ryan Reynolds or Steve Nash.
And and I also love my British shows, dude. IT Crowd, Doctor Who. I'm a Whovian through and through.
Wait, so let me ask you: Is Peaky Blinders, is that British?
I don't know.
Oh, well, Sherlock is British.
Sherlock
for
is.
Sure.
There you go. See, Sherlock.
Oh, Sherlock, dude.
See? BBC. They have good quality
dude,
stuff.
Dude, Sherlock is so good. But it's not in the top three.
Not in the top three. I mean, we'll do subcategories.
What was
of our
that
great
noise?
It's me trying to interrupt you.
Did I stutter?
did I? Oh, your segues are amazing.
Speaking of stuttering,
are we... I was just going to say how we should do also another cast about British shows.
Oh, yeah.
A future cast of British shows.
I don't know that many.
Yeah, so we'll also have other guests that...
Monty Python, I watched that growing up.
That was... Okay, that was a little nichier, but yeah, totally. We'll go to that.
Or Mr. Bean.
Mr. Bean.
Okay, but this awesome. Is so old. We're talking shows right now, right?
Yeah, talking about shows right now that have shaped the way we talk, even.
Or think, or
act.
View the world.
Or wish our lives were. Because honestly, every time I watch those shows, I wish I was in that universe.
Like, yeah.
There's not one of those that we don't talk about. I don't want to be in that universe. So let's start off with the most, not the most common, but Parks and Rec.
Oh, I think that's the one where it's built for everyone. Because some people can't handle the awkwardness of The Office, and some people don't like the 40 minutes on Psych, or they just don't like the humor in it. But Parks and Rec, I've never met someone who watched it, and they were like, yeah, I don't like it.
The ensemble cast is the most complete. Because
oh, yeah.
The Office has a huge ensemble cast, but there's like two or three throwaway characters that, if you, it's not in the show, you don't care.
Yeah,
you
don't know.
But even Jerry on Parks and Rec, even Larry, Jerry, Gary, Gergidge, Burbage, even him is like... He's hilarious.
Oh, yeah.
The way they use him is deadly.
Oh, yeah. When April has to scratch his sweaty back, it's so gross.
Because he thinks
and
he's
dying. And the face she gives. Dude, speaking of April, did you know she wasn't originally part of like how they wanted Parks and Rec to be, right? She was...
The intern.
Yeah, she was just supposed to be an intern, but they didn't even want someone like...
April the intern. Like, the character April the intern, they thought it was going to be somebody... In their mind, they envisioned somebody else.
Yeah, not Aubrey Plaza, weird,
not a,
buying two crows.
Not an awkward brunette.
Yeah.
With dark eyes that just sits in the corner.
Originally, they wanted, like, a blonde, you know, who
a
was
a stereotypical
very...
blonde... Ditzy, but like flirty, bubbly, a bubbly blonde. I think that's the correct adjective.
Dude, and so much better to have April.
The exact opposite, and it worked a billion times better. Leslie pushed for it. Leslie Knope, what's her?
You don't know Leslie Knope's real name?
No.
Oh, Knope, you don't?
No, I don't.
I don't know it either. why did you even ask?
I don't know.
You just said Leslie.
Because Leslie Knope. Let's just keep it that way, because then it'll be easier for us.
Yeah,
so
okay,
Leslie Knope was pushing for, helped push for her. So that was a great buy into it.
Well, she's not the only one that wasn't original, wasn't so. Andy Dwyer was originally
Chris Pratt was originally a little bit like only a featured character, so not a
he
main
was like
cast,
a guest star for
a few episodes.
Yeah,
and what did he do? He charmed the pants
and
out
they,
of everybody.
They brought him in
and they put him in. And what was that? One of the best choices. Because imagine watching like the first season. Well, there were only what, 8 episodes. It wasn't a long season.
No. Yeah.
And who would have predicted how that show would have ended with Andy and April getting married, right?
Right.
That's why it was so, for my mind, that was so genius.
Oh, yeah.
Community, another show of
mine. But
they
let it develop.
Yeah.
The creators let it develop.
Yeah, like
thing.
Community, Dan Harmon, he did that too. Like, he threw curve, because he whenever those types of shows, they realize, you know what actually fits better? These two people. And let's do it. Let's switch the script. Like, that's what I have a lot of problems with some of these shows that, like, the one good thing about Arrow is, you know what, let's flip the script. Felicity had nothing to do with the show, but the fans enjoyed it, so let's put it in that way. Yeah. So when they realized that chemistry works, and they did it, and they kept it, that's what I think makes the show successful.
Well, and Chris Pratt is so talented. You know, if you look him up on YouTube, he's got so many improv moments. I'll give you an example. There's an episode where Leslie is super sick, and Chris Pratt is trying to look her symptoms up on the web, and he's like, Leslie, I typed your symptoms into the computer, and it says you could have network connectivity problems. And that wasn't even scripted. Like, the creator was just
improv?
Like, yeah, the director was just like, hey, why don't you just come up with a line? And he was so ticked after. He's like, I could never have come up with something that funny.
His, some reason I can relate to a grown man acting like he's 12. I don't know why.
Oh, I totally can. So, my wife and I are just like that. We'll go to one restaurant, pick up Chick-fil-A fries, and then we'll go to another restaurant, pick up tacos, and then we'll go to a third restaurant and pick up pizza. Like, we're so weird. All in the same night.
All in the same night.
Same meal.
That's how I like to eat out of a plate of, you know, Frisbees. That's cute. Chili out that's of cute. A plate yeah, of frisbees. That's cute, right? That's cute, right?
or bring the hose in the house.
Bring the hose in the house and wake you up. Be like, you're not going to get me with that? That's fun. And how he tried to fix when the computer was broken, when April deleted all the files.
Yeah.
And he goes like,
blows on it.
Yeah, I've played video games my whole life. I know how to fix this. It blows on the monitor like you're cleaning a cartridge. And that just lost it. Because it brought me back to A, when I would do that with cartridges. And B, it was just hilarious.
Yeah.
Because I thought maybe he would like it's hit so on relatable. The keyboards or yeah. just unplug it and plug it back in. No, he just blew on it and just kicked it over.
Yeah. What's funny, too, is their relationship with Ron. They were able to build these weird friendships. Like, the episode where he and Ron go off together, I laugh every time. You know, the meat tornado burrito.
When
and
he doesn't root for a lot of people.
No, exactly. But he likes
but
Andy.
But he likes Andy.
What does he say? He's like, I work with a lot of women in
and
the office.
And that's including the men.
Yeah, that includes the men.
So it's nice to have Andy.
And they're, like, playing football. And Andy, yeah. Wait up.
You are an idea machine. The relationships there are a lot. Everyone has their own, but they're together. Like Leslie Knope is the linchpin.
Yeah.
But their side ones work great.
Yeah. You know, I think with Parks and Rec and The Office, not so much Psych, but still Psych too. But I think the reason I love the shows is because of the characters, and not so much because it's like an amazing story. Whereas I watch something like Sherlock, and I'm in it for the story. But I watch something like Parks and Rec, and I just enjoy the character development, the humor, and like the built-up jokes.
It's not story driven.
Yeah, it's character driven.
And what I like too about our shows too, they're not sitcoms. There's no laugh tractor. It never tells us when to laugh. Like we know when to laugh. And then it's deadpan.
Dude, there's a scene where Chris Pratt is cleaning Kevin's shoes and he like gets up too quick, but he's totally hungover, and so he pukes all over Kevin. I remember I had to pause it because I was laughing for like 2 minutes straight.
Kevin.
It was so funny. Kevin's like the guy he's always mean to. He always shines his shoes and he's like, get out of here, Kevin.
That's Kevin?
Isn't that his name?
No, I think it's Kevin. No, it's not
Dude,
Kevin.
Okay, if anyone can come up with a name.
I think it's Carl.
No.
Yeah,
it's not Carl.
It's Carl.
Carl. No way, dude.
Carl. Not Kevin. Kevin sounds too young. Talking about the old guy that's bald.
Yeah.
And he's like, oh, Carl just told me this funny story about his credit getting stolen. About his identity being stolen.
Yeah.
Get out of here. Maybe it's not Carl.
Dude, it's Kevin.
No,
it's not Kevin. Who knows what it is?
It'll come to us.
No, no, dude. So, but going back to characters, like, I just love Ron Swanson. And I don't know. So originally they cast Ron Swanson. When he was auditioning, he was basically that person. The big mustache, did woodworking. Like, a lot of him just came pre-made. That manly man, and it fleshed out so well, and it feels so natural.
So when they handed the script, they're like, "We want a kind of a burly guy with a mustache and that hair part of that way, right?" Like he embodied the character.
Oh yeah, no, absolutely. Well, like he just showed up, I think, and they were like enthralled by this dude who did woodworking and all this stuff, and it was just him. Like, so here's a fun fact for you: Ron Swanson originally auditioned for the original like Wolverine back when Hugh Jackman got it in 2001.
That would have been a very different universe.
Yeah, Nick Offerman, who plays Ron Swanson, was one of the like finalists or whatever. He auditioned for it. Could you imagine?
I would love to get a picture of that and just post
him,
it.
Him with like the big old sideburns and stuff.
Just him in general. Just having, Kyle, dude.
Is it Kyle?
It's Kyle.
Oh.
Hey, you were closer
if
than
you
I
were,
was.
Like, if you were to combine Carl and Kevin, it'd be Kyle.
I was just glad. Sorry, that was irritating.
Kyle.
Kyle. Get out of here, Kyle.
Oh my gosh!
But Ron
Amy
Swanson,
Poehler.
Amy Poehler.
That was the other one.
This is why we work well together.
Freaking Amy Poehler.
Amy Poehler. Anyway, this is why we don't do names. So,
you know who we're talking about.
So what I like about Ron Swanson is he has one of the biggest hearts. Not the biggest heart, but like he genuinely like wants to make sure. Like he, I tried to say like my work proximity.
Yeah.
But it's genuinely his friend. Like, you know, like he does care. Like he does the right emotions. It's not forced.
Yeah.
It's who he is. He stays the same. Because some characters grow and they mature a little bit. He actually kind of stayed the exact same.
Yeah, no character arc at all.
He softened towards the end when he like married Diane and had kids. Like he softened, but still he was still Ron.
Yeah.
Like, he carried around a cell phone that nobody knew. Like he was still just that. He was still Ron.
It was kind of an interesting parallel because you had two kind of like people who didn't change at all. I don't think Leslie changed at all, really.
No.
After she got fleshed out, she just was always energetic and always the thing. And Ron was the other one. And they were complete opposites. And neither of them ever changed. But everyone else had these huge arcs. Like Andy had a big arc. Karen had a big arc. Chris Traeger even had somewhat of an arc. But
Chris Traeger went up and down.
Yeah, you give all these arcs that just circle these two characters. And I love it.
And can we say how Parks and Rec made Ben like the most likable guy? Come on now, because you remember Adam Scott. It was just the worst guy in every movie. He's in Step Brothers.
He's the bad guy in The Secret Life of Walter Mitty.
And he does that so well.
And his
weird
beard.
Yeah.
Hey, Johnny, you know who looked good in a beard?
Who?
Dumbledore. Oh. Not you.
Okay, first off, I'm a little more clean-shaven than you at the moment. People can't tell that, but...
Let's just bring it back to Walter Mitty. Walter and Adam Mitty. Scott. Dude, his looks into the camera...
He sells it great.
Oh, it's so funny. I love that, dude.
My favorite one is, like, Tom telling him, because he was going to go inviting him out for the club for the first time. He's like, what are you going to wear tonight? I'm just asking. And Bench is like this. And he's like, you're going to change, right? Oh, yeah, totally, I'm going to change. And he's at the camera like, what? I'm wearing a tie.
Yeah, so funny, dude.
See, that was another good friendship, too, dude. Tom and Ben. That was a curveball friendship, because, like, Tom really, like, loved him at, like, because when he had to do the speech, like, when they fast forward, the last season was kind of hard to watch, but when he had, like, and he was just breaking down about him, and they were just all crying, and that was to me.
Oh, I totally agree.
That, to me, made me want to eat a calzone. That doesn't betray me.
The calzones betrayed me.
Betrayed me.
Dude, freaking Ben.
I mean, and they had awesome secondary characters. John Ralphio.
Oh, my gosh.
Right?
And his sister, Mona Lisa.
Wait, isn't she the worst?
I'm not going to join you.
She's the worst.
Toastcake.
I mean, Diva Nerd, come on. Like, she's the best. Like, they're just, money, please.
Money, please. Dude, my sister literally says that.
Money, please. I do that to my parents, though. Money, please.
Money, please.
You just have to give it to her.
No, the only way you can get it. So funny.
Right? And that's so, out of all of the shows we talk about, full cast ensemble, that's a universe I would live in, full cast-wise. Like, hang out with every single one of them, that's who I would want to be with them. Because the other ones, there's like two or three characters I wouldn't want, or the last one we're going to talk about, like the main two characters who I adore, two or three who I love. Yeah. But that cast, like every single one of them, like I'd hang out with Tom.
Even Donna's funny.
Donna, dude, are you kidding? I would.
And none of it's forced.
I would literally treat myself with her all the time. I would get in her Benz, I'd let her throw me in the back of her Benz and treat myself.
With Ben.
Wyatt, and just have a ball.
Dude, so I think what I love about, like, there are a few who look at the camera, they do other things, but they include you in their jokes with that. Like, it's like a joke between you and Ben when he looks at the camera and makes his weird face, or just, as, I don't know, it's just kind of a weird dynamic that you don't see in other things. That fourth wall break really pulls you
They
in.
Break it, great, and they don't even have, like, a reason to do it.
No.
Because, like, The Office, like...
So weird.
The Office acknowledged that there's a film crew there, and they're doing it for... They're doing
Who
it
knows
for
what?
Yeah.
No, they never explain.
Yeah, no, they're doing it for a PBS special. The Office.
Oh, do they?
Yeah,
no.
yeah.
Cares.
But the Parks and Rec never does. It's like you're the third person.
It's like you're
there.
In there.
Yeah, you're the fourth wall, and it's there because they just go talking to you.
You know what show I love that does that too is So this is actually one of our trident points, but Psych. Dude, Psych. I think Psych. Sorry, they don't break the fourth wall, but they bring you into the humor so well because they have these scenes where it's just like Sean and Gus and you. And they're like, I don't know. There's something about it where I always feel like I'm part of the joke.
They do include you, yeah.
You know what I mean? Just the way they've shaped their humor. It's so weird.
It's so weird. So weird. Not as weird as the next show that I want to talk about. The creme de la creme. I guess the most quotable show that you and me can just quote each other back and forth. The Office.
Oh, I was going to say SpongeBob. Still, SpongeBob.
Okay, I'm going to tell you this right now. You're in a safe place right now, but don't go out in public and just start quoting SpongeBob. I mean, just for safety's sake.
Okay, Johnny.
Who do you...
Screw you, man. Okay, screw you hardcore.
Okay, I will be your Patrick. Is that what you want to hear? Is that what you wanted to hear?
I want you to be my dumb friend who lives under a rock. And eats all my food.
And then eats all your food. And just is walking around picking my nose.
And eats Krabby Patties at 3 a.m.
I can do that for you. 3 a.m.
Oh boy, 3 a.m.
All right, so I think that Michael Scott is the best, but I think him and Ron would make a good fight. You don't even think it's no contest. Michael Scott
is the greatest of all time. Best character ever written for TV.
He is
not
the best.
Not film, but TV.
He's the best misquoting person I've ever met in my life.
He's the best everything.
I guess the birds so flew awkward. West for the winter. Who does that? Who does that?
Dude, there's a few that he says, like the prodigal son. My son returns. He can't get anything right.
Catch 22. After Ryan just explains to him what catch 22 is, and then he goes over and he's like, catch 22. Nope, that's not.
Johnny, you just stole mine. You know what? And fool me once, strike one.
Fool me twice.
Fool me twice.
Strike three. And he just came up with that on his own.
I don't know about that, but dude, Steve Carell.
No,
you mean the
Michael
character.
Scott. Yeah,
oh,
yeah,
no.
Yeah.
No, if you watch the interviews originally, like, Steve Carell came in and interviewed for it, and, like, you'll see other people interview for Michael, and it's nothing like Steve Carell's version, and it's hilarious. It is so weird and so well done.
Because they never, like, when they transition from, like, season one to two, usually two, they tone down some people. They technically never tone down Michael.
No.
They just adjusted his hair. Yeah. Like, just gave him a normal hair
his
part.
His hair was so hard to look at in the beginning.
But he was the same way. Like, yeah, he was loud.
He was always the same character.
Yeah. The only thing is, like, they made it so the people put up with him towards the end.
They loved him more.
Yeah, and that's all that. And that's all that happened. But he technically was kind of the same guy.
Yeah.
Through and through. Like Ron Swanson changed not even a little bit. Like, yeah. It's the same concept. Like, everyone else grows and progresses. Like, Pam goes through the most. Like, she has, like, 4 different jobs in the office. And Michael's same way. Same side. Even Dwight, like, same crazy over the top.
Dwight changes a little bit, though. Like, he's able to be more friends with people and other things. He's, I don't know, he has kind of a different view on things.
He does.
But it's not as drastic. But none of them, like, Michael doesn't change at all, not I at feel all. Like.
Not at all.
Oh, and it's so funny to me. So like, funny. His weird, awkward... My wife actually hates Michael. She can't watch the show because
that's
Michael.
That's my only downside is sometimes it's a little too cringeworthy. Like, Phyllis's wedding, sometimes you're just, like, biting your nail. Like just, what are you doing? Tone it down. One. But that's like one or two episodes that I get out of him. Like, all the wedding ones are great. When he goes to Michael, when he goes to Jim and Pam's wedding, and on the car, right, he writes on the back, "Going to a wedding."
Yeah.
And then he's like, "It's a big day for me." And Jim goes, "Congratulations."
Yeah. I just love at Phyllis's wedding when he's like pushing the dad around down the aisle, and the dad stops it, and he's so pissed. Turns to the camera. This is bullshit. Just so mad. He's like, I can't believe I pushed that old lazy man's A around all day.
All day. And then he's sitting down again. And then he's like, oh, I'm sitting down now, huh?
My sister and I literally quote the, you know the speech he gives? Webster's Dictionary defines wedding as the fusing of two metals with a hot torch.
That one took me my second try to get to realize what he was saying.
But he just keeps introducing himself. I'm Michael Scott. He says it like 4 times.
Michael Scott at weddings is the best.
Oh, yeah.
Michael Scott in general is the best.
Oh, some of his euphemisms. So, Jim and Pam, were you gunning for Jim and Pam, or did you want to...
So, the first 2 seasons, it was obvious that's going to happen because Roy was horrible. Roy was horrible. And you're supposed to. We're not supposed to not like Roy. If the audience likes Roy, you're not going to want him to break up. You know, he was conceited, full of himself.
He just didn't care about Pam, though.
He didn't care about
Pam.
He
didn't want her to succeed.
When she wanted to go back to school, Roy was like, we don't have time for that, or something. Yeah. Like, he's very selfish. Or they wanted to go, Pam wanted to go hang out with all the people after, just like one of the first episodes. They were all going to go drinks after.
Yeah.
And she's like, can we go? And he's like, no, we got stuff to do. Let's go.
Yeah.
And so he didn't want to interact with anyone. And Jim wasn't, like, hitting on her. Like, he was just talking.
Yeah.
So that one made sense. And then, like, Jim moves on, finds Karen, who is adorable.
Yeah. I love
attractive,
Karen.
Smart,
super sweet.
Yeah, really nice. Yeah, and outgoing, and I was dorky with him. It's another thing. Like, Pam is a huge dork, but you know she wasn't suck up.
Yeah.
Karen wasn't suck up at all. Like, she was a dork too, and they never made me not like her.
Yeah, I agree. She never did anything to Jim that like wronged him. Jim just kind of was like, I'm still stuck up on this girl.
Yeah.
See you later.
Like, she was the victim, I guess. Like, she totally was. She was the rebound, which
although,
I felt bad.
I really don't feel that bad for her because she just moved to Pawnee and became a nurse. And then, you know, after all that, she ended up with Chris Traeger.
He was literally
the greatest, most beautiful man.
The greatest human specimen to ever come up. His body is literally a machine. Dude. One ground of Fluffy will kill him.
Did you know that... Chris Traeger, the actor who plays him, Rob Lowe, is like in his 50s, like late 50s. Can you believe that?
He's the ageless wonder, man.
Yeah,
I'll
he
tell
seriously
you that.
Is.
He does not age. He's beautiful. He's beautiful. But you know, I was reading an article, Steve Carell, they're just saying, like, how did Michael Scott get handsome all of a sudden? He has like the salt and pepper hair and the beard. And I was looking at him like, yeah, he's a handsome man, dude.
It's the nose, though. He's got that weird nose. Like,
okay,
it like
Dwight,
splits his face perfectly.
Dwight has the worst nose, and he even brought it up.
That's
He wished he had Jim's nose. And the minute I saw that episode, I could never again not look at his nose being so tiny. The minute it gets pointed out to me, that just gets me.
Dwight, I love Dwight so much.
He's driven, and you know what? And I liked about him too, because he sucked up to Michael, not to advance his career. He sucked up to Michael because he loved Michael.
This is weird. Have you ever? There's like an episode where Michael's like, "Pam, smell my breath," because he wants to know if it's good or not. Dwight's like, "I'll do it."
Good, not great.
Yeah, so awkward.
Yeah, Dwight's great, and you know what? The Office did really smart was with Andy. When Andy from The Office, Andy from Parks and Rec.
Yeah, yeah, you broke my mind there for a second.
Ed Helms.
Yeah.
When he first, like, introduced in season 3, you wanted to hit him in the head.
Oh,
and
yeah.
And he's, like, punching the wall. You're like, this guy's annoying. What is he
so
doing
nuts.
There?
His banjo.
Yeah,
and banjo
and, like, his high-pitched voice and hitting on everyone and tuna. Like, you know, isn't it? But then, like, and then I realized 4 through 7, like, I loved Andy. Like, you felt for him. You were cheering for him.
Yeah.
And then even, like, Michael's farewell, he's like, you sold us on Andy. And I'm like, that made sense. He did sell us on Andy. But my all-time favorite is Creed, dude. Creed is just the most random.
Dude, you and my wife. I don't like Creed that much. He's funny. He's so creepy.
That's why he's funny.
Oh.
That is why he shows up to a bloodstained shirt, and they're like, good costume. Oh, get it, Halloween.
Yeah.
Or when they have the new HR person there, and he's like running away from her, and he's like, she's asking
me. What do you do here?
Who is she? Why is she asking me all these questions? What do I do here? Something with the resources. And he starts to panic. And
I like the one where he shows up, and Michael's like, there has been a murder, and you are a suspect. And he's
cool,
like,
boss.
Great thing, boss.
Cool boss.
I'm just going to go get some for my car real quick.
And then drives away.
Peels out.
Did you see? This one took me a minute, too. Is when they thought ageism was going to happen. So Creed
dyes his hair black.
And then Michael's like, why are you using the same paint? He's like, oh, we ran out of ink somehow.
Yeah.
And then Creed just back there, just like looking with his shirt unbuttoned, trying to get some Red Bull. Got to ride the bull, man. Got to ride the bull.
I love, I don't know, my favorite character is still just Michael.
Michael's the best. I'm just saying Creed is like a secondary character. He's just so awkward.
I agree.
He's just so weird. Like, they had one where he was like, for Toby, right? Toby. He's the worst.
Dude, Toby really is. I hate Toby.
His voice, everything he does, I get it. Like when Jim became the manager that one time and Toby walks by, and they're like, Toby, keep going!
Yeah. Not now, Toby!
Not Toby. And so Toby was teaching self-defense, and then they had, so he's like, so scream, attack, and hit. So Creed stands up, smacks Meredith in the head, screams and runs away. And that was it. That like 6 seconds just made me laugh for 6 minutes.
Dude, so I don't know if you knew this or not, but there's a big theory that Toby is the the Scranton Strangler. But the reason being is because if you watch when like he drives by, you see the car in other episodes in the parking lot, the same exact car.
Oh, really?
Yeah, that the cops are chasing. And Toby's not there.
Oh, Toby.
No, yeah, Toby's
not. Oh, okay. They're saying Creed, because we're talking about Creed.
No, I mean, Creed is a Strangler, I'm sure, but he's not the Scranton Strangler. Yeah. I think it's Toby, because if you watch, it's the same car that's in the parking lot.
And he's not
in
that sequence?
Toby's not in that sequence at all.
Yeah,
and Michael's going to buy a rocket
Toby,
ship with the gravel.
But then Toby, like, was in there, and he convicted the wrong guy, and then he got choked, so I don't know. Because he went to go apologize to the Stranglers because he thinks he got the wrong guy.
Yeah, but no, I think that the wrong guy realized that he was the real Strangler.
And
he
then,
was bragging
and then strangled him back.
Yeah, there you go.
That would make sense. And Toby.
Toby's so creepy.
He's just the worst. The worst. And then Meredith, just a drunk.
That's where you kind of go into characters that I just don't love. Like I would shoot Toby twice. And Meredith, I don't care for at all. I think she's not very funny. Same with Angela. I don't think Angela's very funny.
Yeah, I don't like Angela.
I think Oscar can be funny. Kevin.
Oscar the Grouch? I came up with that. Kevin's voice actually changed. That's the one thing. Like, because he has a normal, deep voice.
Yeah.
And then they just changed him into, like, a slow guy at the end. He's a little bit like, Kevin, how many pies is this? He can do math with pies. Seven pies.
Freaking Kevin.
Freaking Kevin. But they, and then the, then Michael left and the show was just that, nowhere to go but down after that, unfortunately.
No, they really couldn't. That's the problem.
Because, like, Parks and Rec, they lost their, like, two main people, but you could still watch the show.
Yeah.
I mean, after Anne and
Chris Traeger
left.
Chris Traeger.
Anne Perkins.
Leslie Knope.
The show could still win just fine.
Yeah.
But after Michael, like, I liked Robert California. I thought he was as a boss that year.
Oh.
He was, I liked him. He had that cool, like, creepy thing about him. Wait, was he in a Marvel movie?
Yeah,
James Spader?
He's you don't know this?
No. Was he in a Marvel movie?
Oh, he totally is, dude. No, so James Spader is the voice of Ultron.
Oh, okay,
right.
Yeah,
Robert California is the voice of Ultron.
Yeah, and he's just very, like, and that's the voice, dude. That's how I see it.
Yeah.
Is that very cool yet creepy? Like you're calm.
Yeah.
He's on The Blacklist, this other show I love.
Oh, I don't.
And he's a bad guy. He's a former criminal, and the FBI uses him. And so he still like does bad things. So, but the FBI likes he brings criminals. So he'll sit him down. Robert California will sit down a criminal on The Blacklist, and he'll like, let me tell you a story. And then he's like telling a story about childhood, and then nowhere, then he shoots him. But he does it so well, and it's creepy. Like me and my dad just watch it, and we're just like, we love Robert California. Like we love The Blacklist because he's just so Red Reddington. He's just so creepy. He sells creepy, but you want to be around him. Like he's just cool.
So
it worked, but at the same time, like he.
My sister and I joke because Robert California is just like my dad. Like, the way he, like, his expressions and how he moves, and even, like, his build, kind of his hair. It's Robert California to a T. Yeah, his Corvette. Like, my dad loves Corvettes. Like, everything about Robert California, we laugh, is just like, oh, it's just like my dad.
It's Papa, weird.
Yeah,
Papa,
it's
Papa
so
Mortimer.
Weird for me to watch.
That's crazy. And, you know, and it ended, I thought it was a little poetic, the end of it. the way it ended.
It ended fine.
It was what it had.
It dragged on for three more seasons than it needed to. After Michael left, I think the show ended.
Yeah, and they should have done everything. They proved why they had a camera crew. So at least I give them that. Because Parks and Rec never, I just realized that now. They didn't really have a camera. The camera crew was there, but they didn't really need it.
Yeah. So I kind of like that they didn't. I don't know. Like when they threw in the random boom guy and stuff. Like
that was weird. That Pam and Jim fighting. That was a little too soap opera-y.
Yeah.
That last season I can just scratch out. I don't really Office, Parks and Rec. That's one of those shows I can rewatch on loop forever.
Yeah.
Big Bang Theory, same another one for me. I just rewatch them on loop, and Chuck. But they don't. That last season, I don't get past honestly season 5 on The Office. I'll just restart it.
Yeah, exactly.
Parks and Rec. I don't get the last season. It's all Michael for me. Yeah, it has to be Michael, and then I just restart it.
Yeah.
So should we talk about the greatest hour-long show? Because hour-long shows are hard. Comedy, especially. Like, you can do drama because it's like, oh, you're thrilling. But there's not that many hour-long comedy shows, and there's one that took the cake.
Sherlock. No, I'm just kidding. Psych, of course. Psych. I psyched you out just there, didn't I? Dude, did I just psych you out?
The weird thing is that I know that you know that you weren't telling the truth.
Yeah. You're so dumb.
Wait for it. You're dumb.
That's what she said. It doesn't even work.
It doesn't even work.
That wasn't even good.
You're so bad at this. This is why I'm Sean and you're Gus.
Yeah, exactly.
This is why.
Have you heard about Pluto? That's messed up.
That's messed up. Dude.
So John and I were just, Johnny here and I were, John? Who the hell is John?
Dude, that's half the crew. Half the crew calls me John.
Ugh. That's just spiders down my back.
I almost corrected you mid-sentence. I almost said John and then about knee. I almost kicked you in your knee to finish it.
In my knee?
In your knee.
That's what she said. Bad one again.
And that's why you're not Michael Gary Scott, dude.
Okay, no. So going back to psych, Mr. Johnny here and I were just moving a bunch of furniture in my house. And every time we moved something, it was just the...
the Gus.
Yeah, exactly. Or the Sean, shake of the head as he's trying to lift something
biting
light.
His teeth and being like, we are the worst.
Yeah.
We're probably the biggest ones out of our friends, but we're still the worst.
Yeah, absolutely.
At doing anything.
We're so lazy. Freaking! So why do you like Psych? Why? What's that Psych? You said it was easy to follow. Why is it easier to follow for an hour-long episode?
It, as you were saying, I'll call back to when you jumped ahead. You are in that world with them. You're part of them. That makes so much sense. You're in their adventure. You're in their shenanigans. It's realistic. I mean, it's a little over the top. You're not going to go every day solving a murder like that. But they make it very involved. And honestly, the best part for me is their friendship. It really is. Like, the way they interact with each other is just the best. They're one episode where they're going to a hotel room and they're at the concierge and they're trying to get it. And so it's Sean, Gus, Lassie, and Juliet. Yeah.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah, serious, right? And they're up there and then Sean is just looking at a candy bowl, just like does some sound effects, points to it, Gus does sound effects back, just sound effects, not even talking. And then he's like, yeah, and then he threw the candy to him, he threw it behind his back and he caught it. And that was it, but it was in the background, so it was just amazing. So that's to me, like, what do you love about it?
Everything. I don't know. So I started watching Psych back when you couldn't stream stuff.
Oh, dude, so did I. When it first came out. USA, man.
No. So we watched it, first season.
Yeah. Since day one, USA.
Okay. Yeah, exactly.
Characters welcomed, man.
Yeah, dude, we fell in love with it. Because we were watching Monk, actually. We were
watching Monk.
We would watch Monk, and we were like, oh, we'll just give Psych a try. And then pretty soon, it was Psych we were looking forward to and not Monk, because it was so freaking funny. Oh, I love Psych. I love, like you said, friendship. I actually think friendship sometimes is more interesting to follow than love is. Because you can kind of be, a part of the friendship in your own mind, or you can relate with any sort of friendship. But you can't always relate to, how people fall in love. You know what I mean? I don't know.
Their friendship was genuine. Like, so you could tell. Like, actors, actors, they're paid to lie.
Yeah.
You know, that's their life. But you can honestly tell organically. And you know, and I've had the pleasure. I went to San Diego Comic-Con a few years ago, and they had their panel, the psych panel. And they would do, and they were telling stories about how when Sean got the job, he was the first one casted, and they wanted to see Gus interact with Sean. So Sean just went over to Gus's house in real life, and they were just supposed to talk 15 minutes. Sean almost spent the night there. Like, their friendship was just that instant. They got along that well with each other. And you can tell. You can just tell right in the back. And so, and they're so funny. Like, they're talking about secondary cast members will, even if they're not shooting, they will go on set just to watch them shoot because it's just so funny.
Yeah.
They're just so funny.
And they're, I think Syke is the king of guest stars out of anyone else.
Yeah. They bring a lot of people from like the 80s.
Exactly.
And even shows they're making fun of.
So if you watch it again, Karate Kid, the guy, so the main character in Karate Kid is in it. The bad guy.
Ralph Macchio. That name I know.
Yeah. The bad guy in Karate Kid.
Yeah. Yeah. They get all.
Isn't his name Johnny?
Yeah, that's
so.
Get,
I think
watch the bring knees, him a body Johnny. Bag. You gotta swing for the knees, Johnny.
So yeah. Johnny is just a general villain, I think.
That's how I'm typecast.
Although if you watch the new Karate Kid, he's not quite a villain. He's like who you relate with.
Oh, I don't watch the new Karate Kid. Come on,
it was pretty good.
Was it?
Yeah. Join YouTube Red, pretty good.
Yeah.
Oh. But back to other. So Freddie Prinze Jr.'s on it.
Yeah, that you know why?
Because he's beautiful.
That and Gus was in a movie. She's All That.
Oh yeah,
with all of them, and he, and Sean dated the teacher. That
seriously,
that was her from She's All That. So Gus,
Gus
had a lot because like Sean wanted
he had all those connections.
Yeah, and they kept the show together. Like Sean actually towards the end was a writer, and you know Gus produced a lot of, like so they were able to do a lot of their friends, and they even had a long running joke where they always confused Gus from Bud from Cosby, from the Cosby Show, and then at the very last for the movie they had him. It was either the movie or the last episode. They had the actual Bud from there. And he's like, you know who you look like? Yeah. And so they did it full circle, correct. Like, their callbacks are, I think, the best callbacks out of anyone.
Oh, yeah. Even just, like, the built jokes that call back to other built jokes. Like, when he gives Gus a new name when he introduces him.
Every time. They're inside.
This is Dr.
Their inside jokes are the best inside jokes, I think.
Oh, yeah. And they include you in it. And I love that. They include you in their friendship. Like, when they go over to the side and they start whispering and arguing, like, you're a part of it.
You're part of it,
you're right there with it.
So to call it, to brag again that I went to their panel. I woke up really early and went to that panel. I was proud of myself. But their
panel. Did you wear leather pants, too?
I almost had on my Wolverine cosplay, but look, I just had a shirt on. No, I didn't. I had my Wolverine cosplay on, yeah. Anyway, so they did panel questions. And this one girl pops up and she's like, oh, you guys have a lot of inside jokes. What are inside jokes you can share with us? And then Sean's like, yeah, because inside jokes are so good to share with other people. and she just cut. And it was a perfect real-life Sean moment. And everyone in the crowd just started laughing. Because she didn't mean to. Like, she asked it politely, and it was just so funny.
Inside jokes. I've always wanted to be a part of one of those.
Well, one day. A shot of Bacardi, perhaps. See, we could do this all night.
All day, all night. That's what she said. Oh! Dude,
that was good.
Let's end. No, I'm just kidding.
Yeah, let's end it. End it on a low note. No, I just want to end it on not end, but I want to keep talking about how the good thing about Psych was the love of Juliet and Sean. It was not rushed. It was not in season three.
Dude, they built it up over seven seasons.
Yeah, six or seven.
Gosh. How do you even do that?
Yeah, and you know what? And no one was angry. No one was like, get together, hurry, get together, because they worked. They flirted well. They did. She waited enough for Sean to grow.
Yeah. They wouldn't have worked in the beginning seasons.
No, when he was just living, had his motorcycle, just was a vagabond, pretty much. He was still a child, and Juliet's more mature than that.
Did they ever show where he lived?
I don't think so. I swear one time he, like, lived in a dry cleaning place. Like, it was just some random thing he was renting out. And I honestly think he was living most of the time in their office, the psych office. I'm guessing that's where he was.
So I got to ask you, the episodes really took, like, a bizarre change at some point in the middle of seasons where, like, it got a little more, like, extreme, you know? Like, all of a sudden, they were going to different portions of the world, and, like, things were just going a little more ham, you know? Like, they'd meet professional killers or other things. Did you like that?
Yeah, they went a little bit out of the way, but
I loved it, actually.
I thought it was great.
Like, the vampire episode. Don't hate us because we're beautiful.
And they got the original Buffy the Vampire Slayer.
Did they really?
She was the original Buffy.
Oh, they got someone from Bourne series for...
The spy.
Yeah.
She was the spy one. Yeah,
yeah, exactly.
They had the best guest stars.
Out of any of the shows we've talked about.
Most consistent, too, because, like... Parks and Rec had Bill Murray in one of
them.
They
had the Princess Bride guy. He's so funny. Yeah, what's his name? Despero?
Despero, yeah.
Oh my gosh. He was so funny. And him and... Dude, so random. Him and Sean get like a friendship.
Best friend.
So
where'd
weird.
Where'd you get these jeans? Despero sent me. He's in prison. It was my birthday.
I love it.
They did it well. I thought they did that so well.
I think the writers were just passionate about it. And, you know, passion just breeds success.
And what's also good, too, is they... you know, I'm selfish. I would want 22 episodes, but they had 13 episodes, which lets you do a more concise story.
Yeah.
When there's not as many, like, there's no throwaway episodes, really. If you think about it, all of them like made sense. They did have some dramatic parts, like when Ying Yang took Sean's mom.
And that was, dude. So that was one thing I loved about Psych, is you could have an episode that was just the most lighthearted, whatever. But then you would jump into these other episodes
that are just deep,
nuts, or scary. They had some freaky episodes, dude, where that girl was like hanging out the window. When they were little kids.
The one that the Assailant Style.
Scary Sherry.
Yeah.
Bianca's Toast.
Yeah.
Is the name of the episode.
Was that the one where Sean thought that... Oh, yeah, because didn't they try to sneak in there?
For the record, I did not look that name up before this. I remember that from like 5 years ago.
I'm proof. My word against yours.
You're an ass.
Nah, I'll give you credit for that one because I can't think of any names.
You know what, Johnny? This is a burrito taco conversation. Nachos.
Nachos.
It's on Psych.
I don't know. She quote that one better. No,
Johnny,
but like,
don't be a gooey chocolate chip cookie.
Man, you're out of your damn mind, son.
I'm rubbing my nose in case because you guys can't see me.
That was also another funny thing too. Is like they knew how to sell the show, how they were doing. Like they were in the movie, so the show's been off the air for a few years, and so they did a skit of Sean and Gus trying to get back into their form.
I love it.
And them just like hitting their nose. Like I've heard it multiple ways. I've heard it several ways. Heard it both ways. Yeah.
Did I love it?
It was just so well done.
Even like, just like the little...
Because their friendship is so pure. Like, when I'm going back to when the mom was kidnapped, like,
yeah.
He's like, I'm losing my mind. Sean was. So he needed Gus just to be...
Silly?
The weirdest thing in the world. Like, yeah, he picked up that helicopter and stuff. He's like, and he did anything for his friend.
Yeah.
Like, that's why it's dumb when people are like, oh, Sean took advantage of Gus. Like, whatever, dude. He did everything for his buddy. They were best friends. Dude, that's everything for
him. There's this season where, dude, this, like, killed me when Gus was about to get killed. And he's like, Sean, I don't blame you.
Oh, dude.
Yeah.
Talk about, I mean, we can do a whole segment of, like, shows that, like, made me tear up, man. That one, a few of them.
Brutalized
that
just, me.
Yeah. It's just.
Or even just, like, there were actual deaths in that one. The, like, little detective guy they had with us who was, like, the expert on Yang.
The blonde hair guy, yeah.
Yeah, he got killed, and it was, like, a real death, and it was heavy.
Yeah.
I was genuinely sad.
They had real deaths. It just felt so real. When Sean was kidnapped, even, and, like, the dad's panic. Like, you can see the dad's panic. And the dad who, like, taught him his whole life what to do.
It felt genuine.
Yeah, but you could tell he was still panicked. Like, Sean was doing everything right, but he still felt panic.
Oh, yeah. Because
he wasn't part of the police, so he couldn't do anything. But he's like, he went up to Karen, the police chief. He was like, let me do this. Like, this is my son. Like, so you could feel the love. Like, their relationships, like Juliet and Lassie's relationship. That relationship is, it's such a good... Like, you can feel their
friendship.
Like, you can, it was genuine
so
friendship.
Caring, yeah.
Like, he cared about his partner. You can feel that.
And they explored it so, like, naturally and so well. All these different friendships and everything else.
Yeah, and nothing was forced. Lassie never, like, fell in love with Sean.
No.
Like, he was able to put up with
him
more.
It was so real.
Like, he put up with him more because of Juliet at the end. Like, you can tell, like, he gently, but he wasn't, like, yeah, he wasn't there, like, yelling at him.
So, yeah, I love that. I think, just ending on that, like, I think Psych was the most real show of any show ever. Just like, no, I shouldn't say it like that. That's not the right way. Psych was just so genuine and passionate, and I don't know how to describe it.
It brought you into their world correctly, because it wasn't too crazy.
It was just done so well for what it was. How's that?
Seems like a good way to end it.
Yeah.
All right, so I hope all you guys out there can find your nerdy better half and just have crazy adventures.
Yeah. Follow us on Instagram or wherever else. I don't know. Just type in Deadlight Nerds. Leave us a comment. Say what you like.
Yeah, comment.
You like.
Comment and complain and yell at us and keep talking to us, because honestly, we only have one friend that talks to us, and he's getting tired to talk to us, so we need other friends to talk to us.
Are you talking about your dog?
Yeah, I'm talking about my dog. She's adorable.
Yeah.